The following Future Conceive podcast is sponsored by the Virtual Education Committee of the Society for the Study of Reproduction, with the mission to develop virtual programs that will aid in the education, highlighting the careers of society members, bringing technology updates, and the latest scientific advancements in reproductive biology. Thank you for listening.
Dr. Babula, thank you so much for agreeing to be interviewed for this podcast. And first of all, congratulations on winning the SSR New Investigator Award. Congratulations. And two of my graduate students, Emily Roberts and Skylar Bird, are going to interview you, as this podcast is supposed to inspire the next generation of scientists in reproduction. So thank you. Take it away, Emily and Skylar.
All right. As Dr. Chanatakuzi said, we're really excited to talk with you. Congrats on this award. Super awesome achievement. So we kind of wanted to start by just asking, what inspired you or what made you want to become a reproductive biologist?
Okay, first, thank you very much for this kind invitation. And actually, it's a deep honor, and I'm very grateful to receive this award from my home society, SSR. So thank you very much again. So if I just give a brief introduction about myself, so I was born in Egypt, and I attended the School of Veterinary Medicine. So after getting my master's degree, I was fortunate to receive a scholarship to conduct my PhD research in Japan under the guidance of Dr. Masashi Takahashi. My PhD research was focused on investigating approaches to improve bovine oocyte quality. In the course of this research, I realized that to meet my long-term goal of understanding how oocyte quality is regulated, I had to focus my efforts on studying oocyte biology and genetics. Subsequently, I started my postdoc training in the US at the University of Pennsylvania in the laboratory of Dr. Richard Schultz, and then at Rutgers University in the laboratory of Dr. Karen Schindler, where I studied major regulators regulating oocyte meiosis, such as RBPBs and Aurora kinase C. But then, unfortunately, because my visit to the University of Pennsylvania was partially funded by Egypt, I was under strict contract to return back to Egypt and leave the US. This was a huge hurdle to my career. However, while back in Egypt, I applied for two other grants in Japan and Europe, which enabled me to travel back again. So after spending 1 year in Japan as GSPS fellow, I went to the University of Cambridge in England for 2 years as a Marie Curie fellow before starting my job here at the University of Missouri in 2019. So going back to your question, so this actually my journey. So going back to my journey, so since I was a child in Egypt, I had passion for science. However, the idea of pursuing a career as a reproductive biologist never crossed my mind. So while being an undergraduate at the School of Veterinary Medicine, I found myself attracted to the physiology of reproduction course. What fascinated me about this course was its focus on understanding and connecting ideas, multiple pathways and mechanisms, rather than just memorizing information. So I got the highest score in that course, and because I was top ranked, I was appointed at the Seriogenology Department, which is Animal Reproduction Department, at Mansoura University in Egypt. So after joining the Seriogenology Department and actively participating in the field of animal reproduction, I started to think carefully about reproduction, and I became interested by how living organisms reproduce and how our very existence relies on successful reproduction. So after joining the serial genealogy department and actively participating in the research, so actually to progress in my position at Mansoura University, acquiring a master's degree was essential. So as soon as I started doing research, I was really taken by asking questions, doing experiments, and being excited with new results. And at that time, I think I realized a career as a reproductive biologist would be the perfect fit for me.
That's really awesome. What an interesting path to get you to where you are today. Thank you for sharing that with us. Next question, kind of two parts, I guess. How long have you been a member of SSR, and could you maybe share one of your favorite memories?
Yeah, so actually I remember like since 11 years ago. So this should be my 11th year. And I think most of my favorite memories from SSR annual meeting revolve around the recognition and the achievements of my students and the trainees. So it brings me like deep happiness when they are chosen for platform presentation, selected as finalist, or receive award from SSR. So as you know, most graduate students initially have uncertainty and doubts about their research, their result, and their potential for success. So I believe that these recognitions from SSR play a pivotal role in motivating and inspiring my trainees to pursue their scientific career. So I still remember the most happiness I felt when my first two graduate students were chosen and presented their results as finalists for trainee presentation at SSR. And I think that recognition for them highly fostered their growth and dedication. So I think these are the most favorite memories from SSR for me.
That's really special to hear. I'm actually attending my first SSR this year, so I'm excited to kind of see what it's like and see this environment that you mentioned that's really kind of fostering of trainees and PhDs. So I'm really excited. That's so awesome.
I'm sure you will enjoy that. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's really, and actually talking to people who will inspire you, I am sure this will be the best way to drive your future career.
That's so awesome to hear. Well, great. I'm super excited. Kind of backpacking on what we were talking about with SSR and how it really promotes this environment to inspire kind of young researchers and everything. If people wanted to go into academia and kind of become a leader and a mentor, what do you think some of the attributes are that you think make a good mentor, something that kind of you value as a mentor? What are kind of some of the attributes that you look to impose upon your trainees?
I may not consider myself an expert in leadership, but I always believe that the good leader or good mentor need to have empathy and emotional intelligence. So I always say that we are not dealing with machines. We are working with human beings. So from my point of view, a good leader should care about their mentees, and it demonstrates high flexibility in accommodating any personal changes they may be experiencing. I think this will give them more confidence in their mentor or their leader. So I have personally learned and appreciated this approach from my past mentors. So they were very kind, very supportive all the time. They always show empathy and emotion and express their emotion in supporting me. So this is something I really appreciated from them. And also I believe that the good leader is the one who can successfully achieve the end goal while ensuring the happiness and the satisfaction of everyone involved. So to accomplish this, I think the good leader need to have intelligence, resilience, flexibility in problem solving. And I think these are the most important characteristics which will enable the leader to overcome any obstacles while maintaining a positive working environment. So I think these are the two. I think the good leader need to be showing empathy and have more care about their mentees, and at the same time, it needs to be very flexible and resilient in taking decisions.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that. You talked a little bit about your career and your pathway that got you to where you are, and obviously you've had a pretty impressive career so far, and getting this award kind of, you know, helps demonstrate that. So my question is, what are you most proud of from your career so far?
Actually, I believe it's my research journey has been pivotal experience in my life. So when I started my research career in Egypt, I never expected to be recognized from SSR, which is the largest society of reproductive medicine. I never expected that. So sometimes I enjoy remembering the whole journey and how I started my research in Egypt, traveling to Japan to conduct my PhD research, moving to the US as a postdoc, going back to Japan, then to England before starting my lab here at the University of Missouri. So throughout this journey, I faced there are a lot of frustrations and disappointment that sometimes they made me question the future of my career. So many times I felt as everything was coming to an end. However, I'm very grateful that I didn't give up. So I think the ability to look back at these challenges and remember the determination that carried me through encouraged me to continue pushing forward in my research career. So it's all the journey, actually. Yeah.
That's really great. We kind of also touched on your mentoring philosophy and what you view makes a good leader and everything. So I guess another kind of question would be, you've talked about how you're really proud of your trainees and everything. What's kind of the advice that you give to them for their future? And another thing I was kind of curious about, you've mentioned how you've done research in so many different locations, and would you encourage your trainees to pursue research in other places outside of the U.S. even?
Okay, so it's two questions. Actually, if I call it like my journey during my research career, I didn't have decision on many of my journey. I had only one decision, that I wanted to do good research. This always my decision. But where actually I really didn't care at the beginning, I just wanted to do good research. So unfortunately, the environment in Egypt at that time was not really suitable for me to conduct good research. Then I had to travel to Japan to get my PhD. And after that, I wanted to understand the more basic mechanism, which drive me to Dr. Richard Schultz here at the University of Pennsylvania. And at that time, I was hoping to stay in the US. But then because I was under contract to return back to Egypt, then I had to leave the US at that time. And I was not able to come until I spent 2 years outside the US for my J1 visa. So this is the time where I had to travel to Japan again and to England again. So ultimately, I was just following doing good research. So my advice, I'm not really advising to travel, leaving the US, staying. I just advise that I will tell the advice, which I always say to my trainees, try to enjoy your research and treat it as a hobby, rather than perceiving it as just a job. So when someone truly enjoys the work they are doing, this will create a relaxed and conductive environment for their creativity to flourish. And I think this in turn is the key to becoming a successful scientist. So wherever you feel more comfortable doing research, do it. If there is a good lab in other country which you're really interested and you feel you will be happy doing that research, then travel and do that research. So ultimately, the point, enjoy the research. This is my advice to any trainers, try to enjoy what you are doing. This is the key.
Thank you. I think that's a really great piece of advice and important as people move forward in their research and their careers. That's actually all the questions that we have for you. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations again on this amazing award and accomplishment.
Thank you very much for inviting me to this interview. And again, thank you for SSR committee for selecting me to receive this really honored award. Thank you very much.
Well-deserved award. And enjoyed reading your molecular cell paper on the microtubule organizing centers in the cytoplasm during meiosis in oocytes and its importance. Enjoy reading your science, and also enjoy meeting you in person at conferences, including here at the symposium. Really well-deserved. And thank you so much for talking to the young investigators of the next generation, and truly inspiring interview. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This music is produced by Bob Hills and Fred Pell.